the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about Lady Zahra, role model for women. Today, Tuesday, is the 14th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Alaq, That is chapter 96 of the Holy Quran, verse 125. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Recite in the name of your Lord who created.
خلق الإنسان من علق.
Created man from a clinging substance.
اقرأ وربك الأكرم.
Recite, and your Lord is the most generous.
الذي علم بالقلم.
Who taught by the pen.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the Quran, we are advised to gain knowledge and to acquire tools necessary to be granted wisdom or hikmah. And indeed, in this regard, Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, shone bright as she has a book known as the Mus'haf of Fatima, which is the infallible Imams would sometimes refer to when they wanted to acquire information on events which would take place in the future.
نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة
Fatima, the perfect role model. That is the topic of today's special. At a time when people buried their daughters alive about Hazrat Fatima Zahra, Allah revealed the chapters of Kauthar, Qadr, and Dahr to praise her auspicious birth. By kissing Hazrat Fatima's hand and by praising her virtues, the Prophet of Islam firmly established the value of women in the Islamic society. This Fatima is the role model of all women of the world. Her greatness is not limited to any particular time, period, or location. As stated by the Prophet of Islam, Fatima is the best woman ever from the beginning of time up to its end. Emphasizing on this point, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, has said, Hazrat Fatima is the role model for women throughout history and for all generations, past, present, and future. The divine aspect of human beings is perfectly manifested in her. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, good evening. In this episode, we are going to review some remarkable and praiseworthy qualities of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, salamu alayhi alayha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The simple but exemplary lifestyle is still very educative and didactic for all of us. And at the same time, we find that after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha did her utmost and her best efforts in order to restore the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the right of succeeding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we know that on the day of Ghadir Khum, it was due to the divine order that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam quite publicly announced that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the first and immediate successor to him, and it was a divine decree, a divine decision. Yet after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a series of unpleasant and very unfavorable episodes took place. Imam Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha started raising the banner of helping Imam Ali Alayhi Salam and restoring right of successorship. From this perspective, we may say that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha sacrificed her life in support of Imam Ali Alayhi Salam, both in support of Imam Ali alayhi salam himself and in support of the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam to the benefit of the Muslim world, to the benefit of the Islamic world.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك
Fatima Zahra in the words of the Infallibles. Fatima in the words of Fatima. Though describing Lady Fatima's persona is no simple task, it is possible to deduce some aspects of her personalities and merits from her own words. Heaven is the reward of one who sends peace and blessings to Lady Fatima. A narrator says, I once visited Fatima and said salam to her. She replied to it and then said, during his lifetime, my father said to me, whoever sends peace and greets us in 3 days, heaven is his reward. The narrator asked, is this limited to the lifetime of you and Prophet, or does it also apply after you and he have passed away? She replied, it does not make a difference whether it is during our lifetime or after our death.
I wake up to find you have left, oh Father. My tears drip down and they flow like a river. Please come back, I ask you by our Creator. I have never been away from you ever. I miss your scent and kiss, O son of Haida. And my name is the sweet name of your mother.
Lady Zahra's role as a teacher and mentor. Her role as a very talented teacher can be seen in her training of Imam Hassan and Hussein, Hazrat Zainab and Umm Kulthum, peace be upon them. Lives of these great personalities need no words of introduction. The incidents of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein teaching wudu or somehow minor ablution to an elderly companion of Prophet in manner that didn't hurt his self-respect highlights many aspects of her mastery of teaching not only Islamic faith and upbringing, but also as an expert of practical ethics. One can imagine high level of depth, observation, and behavioral indoctrination she imparted to her children in the area of ethical conduct.
Rasulullah honored Fatima al-Zahra. They had such an amazing relationship, the way he was with her and the way she was with him. In the Battle of Uhud, Fatima al-Zahra had been married, but she kept that connection with Rasulullah. There was a caller, and the narration says that Iblis called out in the skies that Rasulullah has been killed. Fatima al-Zahra and a few of the women of Bani Hashim, they came to the battlefield. Fatima al-Zahra, she saw her father, Rasulullah. He had not been killed, but Rasulullah lost his tooth on the day of Uhud. And Rasulullah was bleeding from head to toe on the day of Uhud. And Rasulullah was crying, he has just lost his uncle, Hamza. Fatima al-Zahra, she came and she began to heal the wounds of Rasulullah. She began to heal the wounds. Rasulullah would fight. Some, of course, there are some that say, no, Rasulullah was sitting in the back by the tent and he did not fight. And there were others that were next to him. No, Rasulullah was fighting. And Rasulullah entered the battlefield. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was known for his fighting and known for his bravery, he says, "Kunna idha ishtadda al-qital naludhu bi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi." He says, in times of difficulty, in the middle of the battlefield, we would go and seek refuge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So Rasulullah was injured in the battle of Uhud. Fatima, she came, she placed something on his wound. She saw that the blood kept coming. The narration says that she took a piece of cloth, a piece of hasir, she burned it and she placed it on the forehead of Rasulullah, and that stopped the bleeding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the role of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Dear brothers and sisters, as you see, this is a very nice and interesting discussion, and because of that, we try to know more about this great and noble lady. So it's a good idea that we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. So please follow today's special on IRIB English Radio. Fi amanillah.
يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت محمد يا قرة عين الرسول يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي لنا عند الله.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since we are commemorating the days when Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, achieved martyrdom in the prime of her youth, here is a statement to ponder upon her God-given merits by her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the noblest lady of the world of her time. But my daughter Fatima is the noblest ever lady of all times, from the beginning till the end.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the great ethical traits and values that has been promoted in Islam is the concept of hilm. Now, hilm can be translated as forbearance, tolerance, clemency, and many other ways that a person can, you know, translate it. But is that attribute where a person is able to, you know, bear certain elements that are thrown at him, or certain situations that he finds himself in that are difficult, but yet at that moment in time he does not really complain, he does not really, you know, show any defeatedness on his face. Rather, he gets on with things, he continues and he struggles, and, you know, he has a smile on his face while doing it. This is what this characteristic or this trait is, that a person in difficult instances, be it in a difficult position with other people or in a difficult circumstance, that he's able to get through it, and to get through it with a smile on his face, basically. And also to put it in a way that, you know, he completely is relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, we see that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually praises this person in an extremely virtuous manner, that this person has such a position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Holy Prophet, you know, gives him this type of praise. That the Holy Prophet is said to have said that the clement, or that person who is forbearing, a person who has hilm, that type of person is as if he is almost a prophet. This is a very high praise for this type of individual. But why the Holy Prophet saying this? Because the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they were sent to certain groups of people or certain societies and communities, they had to be the most forbearing of people. They had to bear so much from the people. For example, even sometimes their own family members, their own household at times, were the worst of people of that community. It was their own households that caused so much strife and so much grief for the Prophet. But yet, they were forbearing. You know, they had this trait of, you know, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing that, okay, everything will be fine. Why? Because I'm relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the ultimate source of goodness. So here we see that this is why the Holy Prophet uses this type of comparison. Again, it is a comparison. It does not mean that this person who is, you know, forbearing will get in wahi, revelation. No, it does not mean. It's just a comparison. That the prophets were those who were the most of forbearing. So a person who is extremely forbearing in his own life will be alike the prophets, as Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to acquire such a trait, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more. You ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Going to talk about miscellaneous issues related to Islamic laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, That's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Jabid, you know, in some of the Western countries, it would be very hard to find edible food according to, like, Islamic laws,
yes.
Canonically edible, I'm talking about, like, halal food. And sometimes some Muslims, as a kind of solution for many of them, they fail to find halal meat, so they turn to, for example, tuna fish cans, all right? And when they see the cans or tuna fish cans, they sort of think that, they can use it, so it becomes permissible for them, in fact, to use it or
yes.
eat it. And at the same time, it would be somehow difficult to know whether the fish that has been used as an ingredient in a tuna fish, the tuna fish basically,
yes.
Died out of the water or in the water. So what should the Muslims do here?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Generally speaking, if scaled fish is imported from a Muslim country, or you are confident that a human being took it out alive from water, this is very important. Or maybe it died in the fishing net. In the fishing net, I think we discussed this last week also, that if a fish dies in a fishing net, then it is halal. We do
yes.
need to investigate.
We talked about it in one of the previous episodes.
Of course.
Yes.
So it is halal, okay, if you are confident. And generally, you are confident
mm-hmm.
because it happens very rarely that some might want to collect dead fish
yes.
from the sea. And you cannot find such incidents. To give even an example, usually the fish are alive and they are caught, they are hunted, and they die out of water. So this is a very strong possibility, a
mm-hmm.
strong probability. And
yes.
based on this strong probability,
yes.
and you have also a strong feeling that the fish has died out of water, then, of course, in that case, you should treat the meat
as halal.
And the same is true with tuna fish cans, which might have been processed and which might have died out of water. And there's a strong possibility about the fish that has been turned into canned meat.
Yes.
So there's a 70% chance or even more than that, that the fish might have died either in a fishing net or out of water by a hunter. So that's why, as long as the fish has scales, you can eat it, even if the hunter is a non-Muslim,
mm-hmm.
even if it is imported from a non-Muslim country. as Muslims, people as Muslims living in the West, they should do this. Otherwise, they will not find meat to eat.
Yes.
Because the market is actually in the hand of the non-Muslims. Like, for example, you as a Muslim living in Thailand, living yes. in Southeast Asian countries, the people there are generally Buddhists.
Yes.
And Buddhists, as you know, they are impure.
Yes.
So you cannot say, okay, if you want to make it difficult for you, you might say, okay, this fish might have been touched with a wet hand by a non-Muslim or by a Buddhist, so I should not eat it. You are making life difficult for yourself.
Yes.
So you should take it easy, and you can eat as long as the fish has the scales, you can eat.
But shift of it, when you look at the body of the can itself, you see there are some other ingredients or preservatives used in it.
Yes.
What about that? Do we have to investigate what they are or what they come from? Are they coming from the haram or halal sources there? Like, for example, the vegetable, which is the vegetable oil. Sorry, not the vegetable oil, but sometimes because vegetable basically is halal, but the other type of oil, like the animal, for example, oil, which is used in the tuna fish.
Well, if the container expressly tells that it has oil or fat of a given animal which is not halal according to us, and it says the ingredients tell you what they are, if you find the ingredients, anything in the ingredients to be haram and to be impure, you cannot eat it.
Yes.
But if it says, okay, if it says tuna fish, or if it says, for example, let's say salmon, for example, there's a kind of fish.
Salmon, yeah.
Yes. There are different, let's say, 100 species yes. which are halal according to
right.
Shia Islam. So, and there's no other ingredient which might be with that fish, so you can actually eat that fish without having to investigate.
But if it doesn't say, for example, it only says,
it doesn't say, you don't have to investigate. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to tell you that it's not necessary, it's not essential to investigate or to conduct a research about the ingredients.
Okay.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
How about the beverages available on the market? I'm talking about the Western market where it is run or administered by non-Muslims, all right? That contain some biological pigments derived from insects. We all know that insects yes. are haram according to the Islamic laws, right?
Yes.
So if some of the ingredients of these beverages, although they are halal beverages
yes.
or drinks, but some of it, some like the biological pigment come from the insect.
Yes.
So does it make it haram? Does it make that beverage haram?
Well, it depends on the insects. For example, if the insects from which the pigments are obtained, they have, let's say, partake of gushing blood. Like, for example, they have gushing blood. I don't think if there is, I'm not sure whether there are any insects with gushing blood.
Yes.
Do you think we have such insects with gushing blood? I
don't think so.
Yeah. So, if there is one such let's say insect which has gushing blood, then and we know that the pigments are obtained from that insect, the drink becomes haram and the drink becomes impure. But
except the grasshoppers, I think, from among the insects, it's somehow considered halal, right?
The grasshoppers are not halal, but locusts are halal. You know, I don't know what the difference between locusts, but the term that has been used by the religious authorities and the translations, I have read the translations, they say that locusts are halal, but the grasshoppers are not. So we must differentiate between grasshoppers and locusts. Locusts can be consumed.
I see. Although it doesn't have the gushing blood, right?
It doesn't seem to have. Yeah, it doesn't have blood,
because
I think.
Because basically insects have different systems of blood, right? Yes. Or blood systems, basically.
You're right. So, if, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, if there is any doubt that the insect may be of those animals that lack gushing blood.
Yes.
This is what I have seen in the Ajwibatul Istifta'at by Sayyid Ali Al Khamenei, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. Then, of course, the drinks and foods containing that derived biological pigments become pure and edible.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun La ilaha illa hum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir
methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, صلوات الله وسلامه عليها. Went through a fitna after the demise of the Prophet, that if she had not dealt with it along with her husband, the successor to the Holy Prophet, Wasiyyu Rasulillah, and the Khalifa of the Prophet, if they hadn't dealt with it to the extent where she sacrificed her life, if she had not done that, if they hadn't done that, up to today, we would have dealt with the consequences. It would have been a deviation that would have been worse than the deviations of previous revelations and previous religions. The fitna that occurred, if we are to elaborate on this, understand the fitna, and I encourage all to think about this. We know the result of the fitna, the part that wasn't supposed to happen, because there were certain other motives involved for it to get a lot worse than what happened. And the struggle of the lady Fatima al-Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen prevented it. But the part we know, the result of it, that is something that is clear to us. We know what happened. The part of it that deserves a lot of thought is analyzing what happened that caused people who had so much love, genuine love for the Holy Prophet. They still had love for the Holy Prophet. Many of them clearly had love for the Lady Fatima al-Zahra as well. When she delivered the sermon in the masjid that is known as Al-Khutbah Al-Fadakiyya, when she was leaving the masjid, the whole masjid was crying. People said, we had never seen people cry like this. Emotions are not fabricated. These are real emotions. They had feelings for the Holy Prophet. They had feelings for the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. And what she said, it's not like they don't have those feelings. It's not like they don't like the Prophet. Much less to say all these people hated the Ahlul Bayt or hated the Prophet. No, that's not true. That's not an accurate analysis. That prevents us from having an analysis that can help us learn from this. What happened that certain people coming to the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that's also understandable. These were thugs. Yes, they had converted to Islam. However, there were still tendencies. And when the Prophet is gone, their iman wasn't strong. And now someone has come to them, bribed them, their heads, their chiefs, to come forward and assist and behave in that violent way. Not just towards the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but generally, this was a forced bay'ah. There were threats. They created a scene. They brought these thugs to Medina. That's understandable. For these people to come forward, that's understandable. That's not difficult to understand. The part that is difficult to understand is the ones that were with the Prophet, the ones who supported the Prophet, the ones who gave their lives, or at least put their lives on the line for the Prophet, for Islam, for Allah. Why did they not come forward? This is the part that needs to be understood. There was one point that we made last night that is important for us to understand. That is, after all these trials, after all these sacrifices, after all these difficult tests that they've gone through, it's still not over. Therefore, it is completely understandable that they go through another test, and the desire for the dunya gets involved, whatever's left in them, because every test you go through, you are able to excel, you're able to elevate, you're able to take a part of that desire, that nafs, away from you. That's the nature of these tests. That's what happens. But if a test is over, it's not completely over. You've gotten through a certain level of it, but there's more left. So the desire coming in and not wanting to sacrifice at this point, that is there. For a lot of people at least, that is one of the incentives for not coming forward. But it's not the only reason. These fitan that occur, there are multiple aspects that cause a certain response or a certain behavior from a people. Allah sallallahu alayki ya binta Rasulillah. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Ya Fatima, I ask you to invite us to Medina . I don't know how long it's been last since you all have been. It's been a few years. The only time that I was in Medina, Ya Fatima, Ruhi Fida, the beautiful nights of Medina, you go searching for the grave of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Sheikh Abbas says in Mafatih, some say she's buried in the Rawda, others say she was buried in other locations. He mentions a few. He says when you want to do her ziyarah, go to these different places and then read these lines. While you're walking and going for where they allow you to visit to the other, the thoughts that come to your mind are, where was that house? Ruhi fida, we like to come and visit you in Medina, Ya Fatima al-Zahra. We like to come and visit your father, your children in Baqi.
Laki ya maulati, nashat kalimati, ya wasilatana wa shafi'atana Fatima al-Zahra.
يا مولاتي نشأت كلماتي يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء
فاطم الزهراء
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat Orbat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about the importance of hub, intimacy, and love in our supplications. In the previous programs, we concluded that heart is the greatest receptacles that the people are provided with during their entire lives in this universe. And the heart has a rule. It gives out what it takes in. Having talked about this principle completely in the previous programs, a question came into our minds. Does this principle actually nullify the principle of choice, aslul ikhtiyar? Because aslul ikhtiyar means that your destiny is somehow within your hands, within your choices. It depends on your own choices and not on anything else. But we have two fundamental principles in Islamic thought. One was explained previously, and this one, that is the principle of choice, will be talked about in this program.